know what? It's been a long week. We talked about viral dance moves. We talked about Donald Trump as the presumptive nominee. We talked about the deeper messages behind the movie Captain America Civil War. Now, let's just sit back, relax, and celebrate Friday. It's time for the break room.
The American Academy of Pediatrics says cheerleading causes the highest rate of catastrophic injuries in high school sports.
The new product will also feature the Star Spangled Banner, in case you didn't hear the message loud and clear enough with America emblazoned on the side of the can.
I tell you one thing, if 9/11's were to happen up on this here plane, don't worry, we got this.
Joining us in the break room, Sam Burnham is the curator of the blog All the Biscuits in Georgia. Tamika DePriest is a marketing and communications strategist. Kalina Baller, co-host of the Real Snobs podcast. And Sumaya Khalifa is executive director of the Islamic Speakers Bureau of Atlanta. Happy Friday, everyone.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
I bet there's a lot of kids in classrooms that are glad that it's Friday. So let's talk about school, shall we? Because we've all, at some point, we all got in trouble at school, right? Did everybody at the table?
Yes.
Get in trouble. That was definitive from Kalina. So maybe you got punished, like I did. You'd have to stay late for detention, or you'd have to come in on a Saturday.
Eat my shorts.
You just bought yourself another Saturday, mister.
Crushed.
You just bought one more right there.
Well, I'm free the Saturday after that. Beyond that, I'm going to have to check my calendar.
Good, because it's going to be filled.
Well, Huntington East Middle School in West Virginia is taking a whole new approach to discipline. Instead of suspending kids who get in trouble, the school invites parents to join their kids in class for an entire day. And the school says it has seen suspensions drop by two-thirds since the program went into effect. So let's talk about this. Look, it's not going to be possible for every parent, right? Not everybody can take the day off of work to go spend the day with their kids. But is it more effective? Would you have been less likely to get in trouble if your parents were going to come and sit in class with you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I have to make a point. No, I never got in trouble. But if my parents were asked
to
come
in,
I never did.
I find that hard to believe, Sumaya. It's not like I believe you're untruthful, but come on.
No. Nothing official.
Okay, that's impressive. She got away with it.
Oh, with me, I had that mom. When I was in high school, she was the one that was always volunteering for everything. She was always at the school. It was a matter of, let me go find your mom.
Wow.
See, because she was just very active and involved, and she stayed home with us when we were young. And that made a big difference in me, because I knew there's a real good chance I'm going to come around the corner and my mom's going to be standing there. So,
and it made you behave.
Oh, absolutely. More than not.
Tamika?
Yeah, well, both of my parents worked, and just the threat of having to take a day to come to the school kept me in check most of the time. But I did get in trouble at school, and I actually begged my grandmother to help me with my situation, which she did, and I promised that, you know, I would never do it again. And it had to do with talking too much in class
that
and then saying
me.
The wrong thing in return and having to do a Saturday detention.
Kalina?
Oh, I think this just speaks to that parental involvement is, you know, it really helps children, you know, put things perspective and keeps them on the straight and narrow. I know I was, when I got suspended, yes, I got suspended and had several days and evenings and weekends in detention. I was not bad. I just couldn't stay still and I couldn't not talk for a number of years, you know, in class. That said, I was absolutely scared when the threat of my mom or my dad was brought up, like, oh, we're going to make sure they come through.
I think
through.
My son would do pretty much anything to keep me from coming to school. I truly believe he would scrub the floors of the gym before.
Yeah, and I will also say that I think that some kids act out and continue to act out because they know their parents probably won't be able to come down. They say, oh, I'll tell your mom. Like, yeah, go ahead and tell her. She's not going to do anything. Because there were those kids in my class too. So, you know, I don't know how effective this could be, you know, nationwide, but, you know, when it works.
Speaking of school, let's move on to a subject that does scare a lot of people, math. Last week, I guess the fear got a little too too much, an award-winning economist was booted off his flight for doing math equations. A Penn State professor named Guido Menzio was removed from the plane after his seatmate reported him as a terrorist. The accuser saw him scribbling math problems, and he thought they were part of a terror plot. So look, I think we can all agree that that was a huge mistake. But the question is, how do we prevent this from happening again? Because it's happened more than once, these kind of mistaken things.
Well, I fly a lot, and I look different. I have the headscarf on. And so it really scares me hearing all those stories. It's almost like can't fly except if you're white and only speak English that everybody understands. So I'm very careful about how I treat people, how I smile at everybody, and not get on the phone and talk to anybody because I might say something that people might misunderstand. It's really a scary time for people who are not from the majority. People of color and people of different faith traditions.
But when you can't even do math, when you can't even do your profession, regardless of what you
it's
look
ridiculous.
Like, it's so ridiculous. This story just really made me angry. And I don't know, I don't remember, did that article mention what kind of math he was doing?
I mean, I saw they showed the page. Yeah. I was hard for me to believe somebody wouldn't recognize that as math, but maybe.
Yeah, I was just like, okay.
I'm going to be a little bit startled if I see somebody doing math unprovoked. You know, is there a reason? Is this guy taking a test that I don't see the proctor for or something like that?
You distrust someone who does math by choice.
But yeah, if you just kind of, that's a shady guy.
Oh, God. Stereotypes and paranoia is going to be the end of our society.
But his isn't racist. It's just against algebra.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
we're hanging out in the break room. My guests are Sam Burnham. He is curator of the blog All the Biscuits in Georgia and Suspicious of Math. Tamika DePriest is a marketing communication strategist. Kalina Bowler is co-host of the Real Snobs podcast. And Sumaya Khalifa is executive director of the Islamic Speakers Bureau of Atlanta. As always, you are always welcomed to join the break room. You can give us your thoughts on either a parent spending the day in school with their kid or scary math. You can reach us by tweet at OST Talk or call us or post on Facebook. Coming up next, we're going to talk about injuries in a sport that many people don't consider very intense.
Let's get one thing straight. This is not a cheerocracy. I am the cheer-tater. I make the cheer-cisions around here, and I will deal with the cheer-consequences.
This is On Second Thought. All right. Well, the saying goes that everything is bigger in Texas, at least is the saying that Texans made up. That also includes budgets for high school football fields at this point. Voters in Texas just approved a $220 million bond package to finance the nation's most expensive high school stadium. I mean, football is a big deal in Texas. It is a big deal, even high school football here in Georgia. But is this a good use of $220 million in borrowed money? Taxpayer money?
No.
Not at all.
No, everyone says no.
No, and I'll tell you, in full disclosure, I'm a huge football fan, college and high school, and I even attended college on a scholarship working with our football team at the university I attended. I think athletics are very important to the total education of a student, but this is excessive.
Yeah. Everyone's agreed.
Especially considering the average cost for high school stadiums, according to Education Week, is more in the $5 to $10 million range, which I thought was pretty expensive. But I understand, you know, the need for these facilities and what they can offer in terms of the educational experience. But this is a trend in Texas. So in 2012, $60 million for one, $62 million for another, a couple of years later, $50 million, and then this one. So it seems like there's even a chase.
Somebody's competition. Trying to get the most expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I even saw it mentioned where the guy said, well, they got one in Plano. All another town's got it, so we have to have it too. And I can tell you, being involved in football as long as I was, I got embarrassed on some cow pastures and had some great triumphs in some fancy stadiums. A fancy stadium is not going to make your football team win.
That's a good point.
Okay. I like to look at the graduation rates for that area.
No, that's academics. What does that have to do with high school?
Oh, God, I forgot.
Yeah, well, how about teachers' salaries and all that? I mean, the money could be better spent.
Arts education.
Yes.
You guys, the list goes on. Football. All right, let's talk about arts, specifically pop arts. Singer Lauryn Hill, she's already notorious for being late to her shows well past the time they're supposed to start. But here in Atlanta, she showed up almost 2 hours late for her most recent concert.
It is never a disrespect to you when we are late. We are struggling, we are hustling, we are moving every day. And we have to take care of ourselves in the process. You want to know something? There is resistance. So it is not easy.
Okay, so a bunch of audience members yelled at her to her face because eventually, after they'd paid full price for their tickets, she only gave a 30 or 40 minute performance. But she is not the only one. Look at Kanye is late a lot. We got a tweet from a listener who says, late pop artists, you must bring up Madonna. Not sure if she apologized for her 3 hours late Atlanta show. Hashtag ridiculous. Hashtag unacceptable. So this is my question to you. There are a good group of pop artists who are really regularly late all the time. Is it do we expect it of an artist? Is it acceptable?
I don't expect it. But I do know that Lauryn Hill actually has a brand for being late. And I had a friend, when this person bought their ticket, said, if I get 27 minutes, I'm good. And so there are some who love an artist so much that they tolerate it. I mean, I wouldn't. I think Prince is a great example of someone who did 2 shows in Atlanta in one night on time and gave the audience, you know, the return on their investment. These tickets are not inexpensive.
They are not. Cameron tweets, it will make me think twice about buying a ticket for her next tour.
I'm going to say this. I don't go to concerts often at all. I know that this is a big moneymaker for a lot of artists, and but it's just my personal thing. I just don't go to concerts. So if I were to purchase a ticket and I were to want to go, I would expect, okay, you can be like 10, 20 minutes late. You know, sometimes there's technical things. I get it. But if you're going to disrespect your fan base and you're going to disrespect that audience and be that late, and then you're consistent on top of that, like you said, that does not compute with me. It makes no sense. I will just stay home and I will watch on pay-per-view or Hulu or whatever.
Right. Remember where you came from and remember who helped you get
Thank
there.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's move on.
I'm not angry.
The reason that she gave 2 is that her driver did not know the way. But 2 hours? Come on.
No. Well, that's kind of bogus because she had a sound check and she was on time for the sound check at the arena.
And she did a Facebook post to say that it's about energy. And so and she doesn't have control over when that artistic flow is going to come out.
Okay, she needs to have several seats. I'm sorry.
Do it on
and
Periscope.
I love Lauren. She needs to have absolutely all the seats. This is stupid.
Okay. Also, referring to the earlier topic about expensive football stadiums, Lynn Durham tweets, $220 million on a high school stadium is why Americans do not recognize math equations when they see them.
Love it.
Come on. I oppose the $220 million stadium. I'd like to point that out.
Okay, speaking of football fields, when we talk about safety on the football field, almost always we're talking about football players, right, and head injuries. But it turns out cheerleaders are the most likely to sustain a concussion above all other athletes at the University of Georgia. Many of the maneuvers that they do just during regular routines make them really susceptible to brain injury. And I wonder who's surprised by this, and is there a reason that we don't talk about it more?
I was very surprised about it, but once I did read about it, it made sense because we look at cheerleaders, they're happy people, they make everybody cheer and go rah, 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 and they're always smiling, they're always there with a high level of energy, and nobody really thinks about them as a sport or being injured. So it is it's an image that is portrayed as being healthy, happy, and there.
Although there's lots of tumbling and
they wear no protective equipment.
Yes. Right. And acrobatics and I didn't think of it either until I read the USA Today article. But so I was very surprised. I'd been focused on football concussions.
Yeah. Well, those the football concussions are the ones that you see happen on camera while a cheerleader is over in a corner of the stadium, and the only people that are going to see an accident or an injury are the fans that are there at the game.
It also occurs to me, and I was a cheerleader, it also occurs to me that cheerleaders are often operating on not very safe material. They're just on whatever is there at the side of the field, which is sometimes pavement.
I'm wondering about the training of their coaches or like the cheerleading staff that train them. So you're laughing.
I'm talking about the high school level. I'm sure high school, college
right.
cheer is
and
very
competitive.
Well-trained.
I'm sure they know what they're actually doing. But like, you know, high school, middle school cheerleading coaches, they're like, all right, we're going to try a double. I was not a cheerleader. I don't know. So we're going to try a double.
They get somebody's
thing.
Mom who did
that's what
gymnastics
I'm saying.
As a kid. Yeah.
Right. And then I don't know if they're really training them properly, not just on the maneuver and the move itself, but safety. And that's something you would start to find probably as you get more to the professional level. Because cheerleaders are athletes through and through. That is difficult stuff. And and if you are not properly trained or conditioned and ready to do that, I can see so many injuries happening. I mean,
yeah, if your child is in cheerleading, either male or female, and you want to be frightened, go read the statistics on injuries.
Right.
It is Friday. We are in the break room. My guests are Kalina Baller of the Real Snobs podcast, Samaya Khalifa of the Islamic Speakers Bureau of Atlanta, Sam Burnham of the blog All the Biscuits in Georgia, and Tamika DePriest, marketing and communications strategist. So how long has it been since everyone's been in college? 10 years, 20 years, maybe? 77-year-old Hurl Taylor is an attorney from Atlanta. Last week, he received the 8th college degree of his lifetime. Taylor's most recent degree is in theology from the University of Emory. He served as one of the lead defense attorneys in the Atlanta Public Schools cheating scandal, but he says he keeps going back to class because he wants to keep his mind sharp and he loves to learn. And we wondered, if you head back to school, what would you major in? What subject do you think would interest you more later on in life?
We're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody!
Yeah, streaking is not a major, not a qualified major. But what would we go back to school for?
Film studies.
Interesting. Tamika would study film. Sam?
I'm going to go with literature.
Not math?
Not math. That would be a waste of someone's time and effort.
Oh, I think you should consider it.
Samaya, what would you go back and study?
I think art.
Interesting. What kind of art?
I would love to learn how to draw and understand the concepts behind it.
Interesting. Kalina?
I would absolutely study botany.
Botany?
Botany.
Plants?
Yes. As I got older and I was looking for a way to relax from the stressors of my life in the film industry, interestingly.
I love that. Let's trade.
Getting out in the dirt, being in my garden, you know, getting out among trees and plants has actually helped me a lot. And I said, if I could go back to school, I would absolutely study the science of plants and nature.
That is fascinating. You can tell us what would you go back to school to study. You can tell us, tweet us at OSD Talk, call us, or post on Facebook. Meantime, let's move on to beer, which is also often synonymous with college. Anheuser-Busch, one of the biggest sellers of beer in the world, and the popular brewer has obviously marketed their product pretty successfully over years. You know, the famous Clydesdale horses, very recognizable. They had a group of croaking frogs. And then there was that one really popular phrase a few years back.
So, but you? Nothing. Watching game, having a butt.
True. True.
What's up?
So there's...
I love it.
Anheuser-Busch is trying a new marketing tactic that's kind of tied to the 2016 Summer Olympics. The company's applied to change the name on the labels of the beer from Budweiser to America. Now, this is a little ironic because the company is not American-owned anymore, but what do we think? Would you want to knock back a cold bottle of America at the end of a day?
Go ahead.
I'm not sure about that. But, I mean, Bud is already iconic, you know, as a patriotic brand. So I don't think it's going to hurt them. I mean, they're sold at sports games, baseball specifically. It's already very American, even though it was sold to, you know, an international company not based here.
Okay. Anybody else tweet about? I mean, look, does patriotism sell beer?
I had a lot of America when I was in college, and I'm kind of grown, I think, into a bit of a snob in that area. So I'm probably going to go with some more of the local guys on that one.
Okay, patriotism does it sell? But look, what about other countries? Are in France? Are they going to be buying America?
They could. It could work. Okay.
But if you're in France, are you going to drink
Budweiser?
You guys are
unconvinced by anything I say today.
Okay, here we go. I think it's a smart strategy in that there are so many statistics and things out there that talk about how America is so divided. And I think that they are playing off of that, and they're trying to say, hey, if it's anything we can unify about, it's like watered down beer, you know? And, you know, the fact that we can knock a few back and we're celebrating, whether or not it's an actually good celebration, it's so American. And why not, right?
Bad beer. Okay. Yeah. All right. Maybe we can unify it around naked baby pictures. Look,
what?
The easiest way. Here's the thing. Hear me out here, because I think the number one easiest way to embarrass your children, right, is to start showing their baby pictures.
That's true.
Oh, yes.
That's true.
And, you know, your kids come over with a date and there's the naked baby picture on the wall. There's not much the kid can do about it. But the French government now says parents could be liable if those photos get posted on social media like Facebook. Officials in France say non-consenting children deserve a measure of privacy when it comes to social media, and if parents break the law, they could face not only hefty fines, but prison time. So what do we think? Do they have a point? We've got about 3 minutes to discuss this, but do we think France has a point?
Yes, because in today's age, there are predators out there that can easily take those pictures and use them for, you know, not so good things. So
one vote for no naked baby pictures.
Don't do it. Don't
okay,
do it.
Sumaya?
Use common sense, and I think it's happy day for our friend's lawyers. The lawyers will have a great day.
Mm.
More business. True.
Get this money.
I don't know about a law enforcing it, but some common sense says these are the people going to be taking care of you when you're old.
Kids may appreciate it later. It's good to have a choice. Let me post my naked baby pictures if I want to.
Really? You want to be able to post naked baby pictures, right?
And not go to prison?
I actually have a friend who specifically will not post any pictures, naked or not, of her daughter. You know, she said I'm not going to put all her pictures out there. I'm going to leave it up to her when she's of age and she wants to make her own social profiles on the internet, whatever.
See, and that's sort of the argument is like when the kid gets to 18, if the parent's been posting a lot of photos that could influence their ability to get a job, their ability to go to college, that's the fact that they had no right of refusal and their parents are posting them.
I think they should have right of refusal.
You do, the 5-year-old? Because there's this great picture of my son in a bunny suit that I wish.
The bunny suit is not, you know, the naked picture.
But he would absolutely object to that.
It looks like a pink nightmare.
Let him have choice.
All right. Well, in the minute that we have left, I don't know if you've heard, but KFC, Colonel Sanders, is now offering edible nail polish. Have you heard about this, right? They have two flavors available in Hong Kong, nail polish that's flavored like original recipe or hot and spicy. So our question is, in the lightning round, would you buy it, wear it, and eat it? Tamika?
Absolutely not.
No. Sam?
No.
No?
No, but make it a honey mustard and we'll talk.
Oh, okay. Maybe. It's the flavor she has a problem with, Sumaya.
Can you imagine sitting around and having people licking their fingernails?
They do that now.
Here, try
that's
this.
That's just so horrible. That's so horrible.
Mine
so
is
gross.
Great. Try mine.
That is so gross and so unhygienic. It's really awful.
I understand it goes with the whole
finger licking
good, but... No, thanks.
Not so much.
Only in Hong Kong, guys.
Okay, we are out of time in the break room today, although you can always respond, especially if you're all for the original recipe fingernails, let us know. Our guest today, Sam Burnham, curator of the blog All the Biscuits in Georgia. Tamika DePriest is marketing and communication strategist. Kalina Bowler, co-host of the Real Snobs podcast. And Sumaya Khalifa, executive director of the Islamic Speakers Bureau of Atlanta. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Great weekend.
If you want to respond on the KFC fingernails or anything else, you know how to reach us, 404-500-9457, Twitter, at OST Talk. For today and the week, that's on Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headley. Have a great weekend, guys.